With the first pick in the 2007 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select quarterback Jamarcus Russell, LSU.
And here we go.
Up NFP, this is Wes Bunning, the director of college scouting at the National Football Post, and you are listening to Draft Talk. We're up to version 14.0 this week, and our guest is Bomani Jones, host of The Evening Jones. You can listen to and find the link below. Also a contributor at SB Nation. Bomani, thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, man, thanks for having me.
Oh, not a problem. And we're going to get into it right off the bat. Three prospects that we're going to look at. The first one had a pretty big night last evening. That's Oklahoma State wide receiver Justin Blackmon, who also reiterated last night that he is going to declare for the NFL draft. Bomani, initial impressions of what you've seen from Justin Blackmon, not only last night, but throughout this year and throughout his entire career.
Well, I guess the immediate question, and it's not just because they went to the same school, is he better than Dez Bryant? And the last time we saw Dez Bryant in college, he was a sophomore, and he was absolutely unstoppable. He just has a little bit of a knucklehead factor going for him. It's not the same ball game with Blackmon, so if you're looking at a comparable physical specimen who seemed he was not as dynamic as Bryant was. Bryant had this kind of extra gear thing going. It's like it's Adrian Peterson, you know, sort of ferocity that I don't know if it's even fair to expect anybody else to have. But if he's in the Dez Bryant class, then are we really talking about a receiver that might be, as I've heard some people say, comparable to Terrell Owens?
Yeah, this is a guy who, when I look at prospects from the last couple of years, especially A.J. Green, Julio Jones last year, I don't think he's in that same type of elite category. I think he's that second tier right below them, and there's nothing wrong with that. When I watch him play, he reminds me of like an Anquan Boldin type on steroids. I think he has an extra gear compared to Boldin. He's not a burner, but at 6'1", 215, he has these long arms, these powerful hands, and this gear to be able to just shrug off defenders that want to get physical with him and accelerate vertically down the field. And we saw him last year beat up on Prince Amukamara, vertically go up and get the football. He's also a coordinated guy in and out of his breaks that can create separation, put a defender in his hip, go pluck the football and break a tackle. So, and the thing I like when you talk about Dez Bryant, physically, I think I agree, Dez is a little more talented, but the passion this guy brings, you're not going to have to worry about the knuckleheadness with Dez Bryant that you don't, or excuse me, with this guy that you have to with Dez Bryant. I think this is a guy that's going to bring it week in and week out on Sundays and have a very productive NFL career.
Yeah, I think with him and with Bryant, it was just so big. We know Dez Bryant's name primarily because of everything else. Mm-hmm. And then you saw him, like, oh, wow, he's really good. That's why this deal came up. I always felt like his storyline in that draft was a bit contrived because we needed a story to talk about, and that wound up being, you know, the one we had. But I also thought with coordination is something you talk about, is with Blackmon, I could see him being a much better possession receiver when possession is called for. Bryant is big, but as you talked about getting in and out of routes, from what I've noticed, it's not the same between the two of these guys.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point. I think this is a guy that you can line up on the outside consistently. He can beat press coverage, and you can also play him as that Z on the strong side next to the tight end. And I think this guy will be able to get after people in the run game as well, blocking on the outside. He's fearless over the middle of the field. Again, Dez Bryant, a little more talented, but this is a guy who I think ultimately could end up being a little more productive playing on both sides. You could also play him in the slot. Just a real tough guy to take out of his element because of his ability to create in and out of his breaks, get vertically down the field. You can run the screen game to him as well. He can pluck and create after the catch. This is a guy, honestly, I wouldn't have any qualms taking within the top 10 picks of the draft because I know what I'm getting with this guy over just about some of the other top-tier prospects in this year's draft.
Yeah, this draft is going to be a fun one because what exactly is going to happen with so many of them winds up being the question. Like last year was the same way, and that to me was why Cam Newton was such a no-brainer number one pick. Like who is it that you're going to pass on? Who is it that you just absolutely have to have that you're going to pass on this? You had a couple of guys like Green and Peterson that you could just say, okay, I think this is going to work. But nobody that was just going to wow you and make you pass up something that could have been as good as Cam Newton. This draft has Andrew Luck, where you just don't even have the mystery to it. We know what's going to happen.
No, and that's exactly it. Once you get past Andrew Luck, a lot of question marks, but with a guy like Blackman, you know you're getting a top-tier talent. I think that's what makes him so attractive, despite playing the wide receiver position. Moving on, Russell Wilson, quarterback at Wisconsin, one of the more hotly debated quarterbacks in this year's draft, and we love to debate quarterbacks. And Wilson's a guy, former NC State standout, drafted in the fourth round, I believe, by the Colorado Rockies. The guy can sling the football, but at 5'11", this is a guy that some people think can make it as a starter. Some see more as a backup at the next level. Some don't even think he's going to play in the NFL. He's going to go the baseball route. Bomani, initial impressions of what Russell Wilson and what you've seen so far from him this year.
Well, I'll tell you, I think he's playing football. I think he burned the baseball bridge when he, after playing this season in Nashville, he decided he's going to go back and play football. They think he needs at-bats, and he cut himself short on the at-bats. The question is just height. I mean, I can't see – there's nothing I see in Russell Wilson's game that makes me think for a second that I wouldn't be my quarterback except for height. And I don't know what exactly would be required for you to have a system where Russell Wilson could be your starter at 5'11". And 5'11 is kind of generous. I'm a 6'4 in the media guy sort of guy, and I saw Russell Wilson at a studio I was at not too long ago, and I'm much taller than him. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm way taller than Russell Wilson is. But I think the example that people bring up all the time when height comes up is Drew Brees. Brees was good in the system at San Diego, and he had 1 year I think that you would have called great. He's been amazing in the system that they've got in New Orleans. Well, is there a place like that for Russell Wilson, and would you roll the dice on it? Because San Diego even only took Drew Brees in the second round. So I'd imagine best-case scenario for Wilson would have to be something in the second or third round. But I really don't know ultimately what winds up happening with him, because if he can find a way to, you know, deal with what you have to deal with as a quarterback at his height, that's the only problem.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting you bring up Drew Brees, and we hear this every year, Bomani, with the undersized quarterback, whether that's, you know, from 2006, 2007, 2008, but there's been one or two of those guys every year, and they get that Drew Brees comparison. This guy could be the next Drew Brees. Yet, you know, we never hear of him again because it's so difficult to be able to find throwing lanes inside the pocket, decipher information, and make throws consistently inside the pocket if you're in that 6 foot, 5'11 range. And with Russell Wilson, whenever this guy makes big plays, and we hit that big home run early in the game yesterday in the Rose Bowl, he was flushed outside the pocket, working off the boot action game, looking vertically down the field, and didn't have any bodies in front of him. He had a clear throwing window and could make the throw, and I think that's where he's at his best. I think this is a career reserve in the NFL, and there's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. I think in the Seneca Wallace-type mold, where if you need this guy to win a game or two for you to come in when the starter's out, he can do that. But if he has to win week in and week out, I just think he's limited so much inside the pocket with all those big bodies around him that he's going to struggle to consistently find throwing lanes to be comfortable to let go of the ball quickly, decipher the information, and get the ball out on time.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not, you know, in the draft prognosticating business, but mm-hmm. I've always felt that the most underrated part of the Michael Vick discussion has always been that he's not tall. The most difficult thing, one of the most frustrating things with Vick when he's with the Falcons, was how many passes got batted down at the line of scrimmage. He's mm-hmm. just not that tall. If he gets himself in a place to throw it, he can get it there. But, you know, he's a guy that's hovering around 6 feet tall. And when he got out of jail, that was my biggest concern. I wonder whether he'd still be fast. He was going to still be 5'11 or 6 foot.
Mm-hmm. No, that's exactly it. And I think, you know, no matter what Russell Wilson does, whether he goes to the combine and runs extremely well, whether he's able to make all the throws consistently or not, he can only be so tall. He can only wear so high of cleats. He's not going to be 6'2", 6'3", and be able to consistently see over the line of scrimmage. And that just really stunts his overall upside at the next level, and why I think a team, instead of looking this guy as a potential starter second, third round range, you're looking at more mid to late round range. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. If Chase Daniel can be a solid backup quarterback in the NFL behind Drew Brees, I certainly think Russell Wilson can. But to expect anything more from him, you know, I think that's, you know, putting him outside the box and going to make it difficult for him to win as a starter.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot. That's the thing. It's a lot to ask for, and he's a dynamic college player. But people always forget when they ask, why can't the dynamic college player be a great pro? You know how many people are like state high school players of the year and like don't get scholarships?
Yeah.
Oh, this happens all the time.
Yeah, and we talk about how great that LSU defense is, and that when you play against them, it's like you're playing on an NFL team. Well, not everyone on that LSU defense goes and plays pro. You're playing against six or seven guys, maybe. When you play in the NFL, you're playing against, you know, 11 guys on the defensive side of the ball that can play in the NFL.
And they're not pros right then.
No, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. And speaking of defensive playmakers, we're going to talk about Zach Brown, linebacker from North Carolina. If there's one team that has as much defensive talent on this on that side of the ball as LSU, it's that UNC team. Have they been able to play up to it consistently? Most likely, absolutely not. But when we look at Zach Brown, what do you like?
My big thing with Zach Brown is he's really, really fast. And the opposite side of that is it's a really big problem when he's overrunning the play. Like, if he wasn't so fast, he might be better off, because when he's overrunning the play, it's like you almost want to worry about a guy like driving into a wall just because he's just going too fast. He has all the – he's a 60-meter sprint champion, and physically there's anything you can ask for. He's got it. But once you start talking about actually playing football, if there's anybody that seems to be set up to be the workout warrior, this might be the guy.
No, I agree 100%. This is a guy that needs to play in a run-and-hit scheme where he can flow to the football from the weak side. He doesn't have to consistently take on blocks because he struggles with that. He needs to have real simplistic reads, because this isn't a guy that doesn't decipher information overly quickly well. Once he sees the football, boom, you see him 1 to 60 right away. He can get downhill. He explodes. There's a definite explosive element to his game. He's a fluid kid. But at the same time, when he struggles to see it and he's playing from behind, then you see that top-end speed kick in. He'll struggle to break down at times and whiff into contact, which is a big concern with him. But speed kills. And despite linebacker not being a stopwatch position, if you have a linebacker with his size at 6'3", 235 pounds, that runs in the 4'4 range of the combine, we know all these NFL guys tend to get excited, and they tend to take guys like Zach Brown, despite the production, a lot higher than you would assume the play, you know, makes him deserve to go in the NFL draft.
Yeah, he's the guy, and one thing about it, the NFL has demonstrated that, especially when it comes to players in the front seven, they believe the word of the Butch Davis, John Blake pairing. Those guys might be gone, but these are still their guys, and they tend to go pretty high. Antoine Ballmer got picked in somebody's first round. I just always like to mention that.
Yeah, no, that's no doubt about that. And Zach Brown, you know, depending on how much of a workout freak this guy is, Bomani, this guy can run 4.4 at the combine at 6'3", 235 pounds. How high do you think this guy could go in the first round?
I think somewhere in the top 20. I mean, that's just going to be too dazzling for somebody to pass up. And I am certain that he's going to run something in the neighborhood of 4.4, if not lower. Like, I have no doubt about this. If I were Zach Brown's agent, right now, all we're doing is running sprints. That's the only thing I would be doing, because that's what you can use to con somebody into taking you about 30 picks higher than you should.
No, that's exactly it, because with all the struggles and the black cloud that's been over that program, especially the disaster of the bowl game with those defensive players giving up a ton of yards, yeah, this is a guy that if he can go to the combine and he runs well, everyone quickly forgets the tape, takes him a little too high, which I think ultimately is going to happen. I think he can find a spot in the NFL. I think he can be in a simplistic, a cover two type scheme where he can run, he can hit. But when you watch this guy play, he's one of those guys that you're always going to want more from, and I don't think he's going to be that guy to ever give it to you.
And that's the concern. And that, I mean, that's what it's been really, you know, especially the last 3 years at Carolina. You hear the numbers, you see everything else. The production just hadn't been there. Kevin Redick playing next to him proved to be much more productive, even though he's definitely not the physical specimen.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Bomani, last thing. I want to thank you for coming on, but can you tell all the listeners today where the many places they can find you on the World Wide Web?
All right. One thing, on Monday nights at 8 Eastern, 7 Central, we do a live chat show called The Evening Jones. You can catch that at theeveningjones.com. My day job is I'm doing a bunch of stuff right now with SBNation.com, so we got a couple columns up there that you can check out. And occasionally people put me on television. I bring a belt with me.
He brings a belt with him. He's on SB Nation. You can listen to him on The Evening Jones. All the links are below that you can find him. Bomani, I want to thank you for coming on today.
Hey, not a problem. I really appreciate the time.
Not a problem. And again, you can listen to Draft Talk every week, Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock at the National Football Post. And we'll have a new guest on next week. Thanks for listening.